This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. We're thrilled today to be joined by Deb Miro. Deb is the Chief Information Officer at the El Camino Health System. El Camino Health System, being CIO there, must be particularly interesting because it's located in the middle of Silicon Valley. If you're dealing with a patient base, a population that is about the most technologically advanced in the world. So thrilled to get a chance to visit with Deb today about her role, about CIO, about what it's like within that community in the information officer's area as Chief Information Officer. Deborah, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Absolutely. As Scott mentioned, I am the Chief Information Officer for El Camino Health, and we are in the middle of Silicon Valley, and we do take care of high-tech patients, which can be quite a challenge and an opportunity. I do have a background as a nurse, which has been tremendously valuable as I have been focused on transforming healthcare for the Silicon Valley.
And take a moment and talk about that background as a nurse. It does strike me, as I talk to CIOs, and this became clear to me probably a decade ago, that so many CIOs aren't by background computer sciences majors, but they're essentially business people or people that, like you, were a clinician, that then integrate that role of the technology and the user perspective. Talk about how that's evolved and why such a great number of CIOs aren't by background computer engineers or computer sciences majors.
You know, historically, the role of the CIO has been to implement technology or software and walk away, and our job is done once we implement. And that's really not the case. Today's CIO, the real focus is on user experience and user adoption. So the work really begins at implementation of really driving the adoption and driving the user experience. And I found that understanding the background and the workflow where that technology is used as a clinician has been extremely helpful. I've been able to really partner with those in the workflows, in the executive suite, all the way down to nurses and clinicians. And that's been extremely helpful to be able to help my team understand the importance of making technology easy, fast, efficient, and beneficial. So I found that helpful. Of course, implementing technology, we partner with the products and services, vendors, they bring that technology to the table. I have some very smart people on my team that are technically, with technical expertise. And so I think that creates a well-rounded capability for us to provide optimal technology to our user base.
And talk about this issue. You're in the middle of Silicon Valley. Does every patient come in and say, you should try our software, it will help your system run better? Or does everyone say there's a better way to do what you're doing from a technology standpoint, or are most of them content to just be patients?
Well, you get a mix of that. But I did have one of the high-tech companies, which you would know, I had one of their executives call me and say, I was a patient in your facility. Why are you not using X product, which is one of their products? And so, there is this really focus on, high-tech areas. They know what good technology is. They know what innovation is. And they do expect that as they're being cared for in a healthcare setting. And so it does raise the bar for us to make sure that we're innovative, we're transformative, that we're leading edge. Most of the reach outs that I have are actually from startups in the area, and individuals that are involved with startups that say, I have a great product for you. Would you be interested in? Of course I am. And we look at those products often to see if there's a use case for our facility or in our organization.
Let me ask you a question. A software company asked me recently, they're working with a lot of health systems, and their goal was to be more of an enterprise-wide type of system versus, used by service lines. Do people make that jump, or is that jump more or less reserved for the Epics, the Cerners, the Salesforces, the handful of things that are truly enterprise products versus independent, using in a specific area of products?
What I often will provide guidance to startups and to companies as they're, starting in the field. And what I often tell them is don't duplicate what some of the large EMRs are providing, because they're not going to really, it's going to be a hard road for them. What I would recommend is that they understand the gaps and the crevices between core applications like an Epic or a Cerner, like a Salesforce and a Workday, like a ServiceNow. Understand what those products provide and fill in the gaps, because that's what's so important for us right now. We have gaps that we must fill, and having innovative technology that can help us bring that all to a really solid workflow is so important.
Do you ever look at, you've got a magnificent attitude in being open to listening to startups and so forth. It's a really interesting perspective. If somebody goes and said, oh my God, I can't listen to any more of them. What about the perspective of, do you ever look at running this many enterprise programs? You've mentioned some of them, the Workdays and ServiceNow, et cetera, et cetera. And say, we're running this many applications, and there's some ceiling on the number of applications we want to run. And it might not be an absolute number, but how do you look at rationalizing how many different things are running on the system from a maintenance perspective, a staffing perspective, a cost perspective, a risk perspective? How do you look at some of those issues?
Well, we're always looking to consolidate, obviously, because with the pandemic, we're all under significant cost pressures to reduce cost, to be more efficient, and to not duplicate. And I think historically, IT has had software that has been duplicative, and you tend to use 25% of a product, and you buy four of those and use 25% versus focusing on optimizing and using 98% of a product. And so we're always, whenever we have an issue, I always reach out to my core vendors and ask, can you solve this pain point for us? If they can't solve it, then I reach out and seek out other options and other opportunities. And, as we're all thinking about technical debt and reducing cost, it's so important that we're keeping things as consolidated as possible, or we're going to get back into that niche vendor patchwork quilt that we had years ago that wasn't optimal.
Fascinating. And talk about this year, your top three to four priorities as CIO and leader within the system. What are your top three to four priorities right now?
So obviously, first priority has been the pandemic. And we've sort of turned our organization around to do many things we were not doing pre-pandemic. Obviously, virtual visits and providing care in the home has been a top priority for us. We've just stood up a mass vaccination clinic that we've never done before, and we're really excited because we have some workflows that are kind of leading edge across the nation. So we're excited about really making a difference in the pandemic for our community. So that's one piece. The second piece is surrounding the patient with technology, innovation. So we've implemented an ability for patients to access their medical record on their phone or on an iPad when they're a patient in the room. And then also, because we've limited visitors during the pandemic, the patient can also interact with their family on that iPad so that they can have, time with those individuals that are so important to them as they're in the hospital. And then third is the cost piece of efficiency in optimizing the products and services that we have, keeping them up to date. And I'll say last is cybersecurity. We're, in the middle of healthcare is being attacked every day. And so we're focusing dramatically on making sure that we're a highly reliable organization.
100%. And I guess one last question, as you look at these things that you're doing and the role that you have, and tremendously articulate, and a pleasure to listen to how you look at things and frame things, a very great mix of common sense perspective to go with the CIO role. Talk for a moment about what you're most excited about this year. What are you thrilled about? What's exciting to you this year that you're looking at? I mean, I know there's the hard things like cybersecurity and cost containment and rationalizing application, but what, when you get up in the morning, excites you about what you're doing this year?
What I've loved is, as we have been a leader in doing COVID testing for the community, we were given funding from our board to do pop-up clinics throughout the community for COVID testing. And so we've made a difference, not for our typical patients, but we've been really reaching out and touching the community and reminding the community that we're here and our goal is to help you with your healthcare needs. And so that's been exciting. And as part of that, we have had our community sign up for our portal that gives them access to their COVID tests. It also then gives them a whole host of opportunities to learn about their healthcare. And then last, I'm building a mobile app, which provides a one-stop shop for consumers, where if you have any healthcare need, you log into the mobile app and it presents other applications and other information for you based on your journey. And so we're developing that right now for the OB patient, our maternal child patient population, as well as surgical patients. And that's been exciting and difficult at the same time. It's been challenging and full of opportunities, which we're excited about.
Deb, just a pleasure to visit with you today. Thank you so much for taking the time to visit with us in the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Just brilliant. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.